Pam, I, the natural nurse, and as always, I'm wishing you the best. We're so excited to be right here on Progressive Radio Network bringing you the natural nurse and Dr. Z, and we would like you to spread the word. You can tell all your social media people that we do have this show on every single Tuesday, and we're happy to say that we have over about 300,000 downloads of our podcast. So that's really exciting. We just participated in the Remedy documentary, and the Remedy documentary is 9 hours of in-depth information about herbal medicine, and each hour is dedicated to a different situation, such as cancer. There's a whole entire hour there with about 10 holistic providers and also MDs and RNs like myself who have been dealing in natural medicine with a focus on herbal medicine for so many years. Tiarana Lodog is in there. Rosemary Gladstar is included. Many of the top herbalists in the country, including myself, are in the Remedy series. So you can go online now and look for that. It was free for about 3 weeks, and now I think it's shifted off from being free, but it is available, and it is excellent, excellent information. In addition, we have an electromagnetic field free also series online coming up, and that's going to be coming up the first week in November, so I'm starting to shout out about it. So if you want to get on the mailing list, you will get an announcement of when it's happening. You can just go to naturalnurse.com in the left-hand corner, click where it says sign up for the newsletter, and you get the newsletter for free. You'll get the announcement, so you can sign up for free in case you missed the free Remedy series. Like I said, that's available, but it's no longer free. In addition, we have a class coming up next week, which is called Cooling the Fire Dragon. That's October 14th. It's 9:30 a.m. in the morning online. And that course, anyone can take it. It's about herbs and natural remedies for pain and inflammation. Anyone can take it. And if you're a healthcare provider, such as a nurse, a registered dietitian, a massage therapist, then you can get 3 CE credits for taking it. But again, it's open for anyone. You don't have to be a provider to take it. And we have a class almost every single day. We have a free class in Huntington, Long Island, that's on ground, on October 10th at 6:30 p.m. at Main Source Pharmacy, which is a compounding pharmacy, and that's herbs for the family. So there's stuff going on every single day, as well as all the people that we have both private in-office consultations with, both myself and Dr. Eugene Zamperone. He's in Connecticut. My office in Oyster Bay is where I see patients. And really, I would say the vast amount of people now are online getting consultations in terms of what herbs and supplements they might choose to incorporate into their wellness plan and why. And which and how, all that information so that you can use what you hear about on natural alternatives for yourself and your family by being educated. So get in touch at naturalnurse.com, join the newsletter at the bottom, send out an email about our show so anyone can listen in. By the way, if they miss it at 10 to 11 a.m. on Tuesdays when we're on, you can listen anytime. Also, you can call in by the phone, which is 701-719-0884, if you'd like to listen by phone, and you can listen to the archives anytime, 24/7. So what a great service that Progressive Radio Network does. And, of course, you can go on PRN.FM both to listen to the show and to donate to the station so we can take this information global. And thank you so much for joining us today. Our guest is Patty Wood. Patricia is the founder and executive director of Grassroots Environmental Education, a not-for-profit organization with a mission to inform the public about the health risks of common environmental exposures using science-driven arguments that support clean air, clean water, a safe food supply, and for stricter regulation of chemical toxins. Grassroots serves local and state governments, healthcare providers, school systems, community groups, and other environmental groups, as well as individuals nationwide. As a visiting scholar at Adelphi University, Ms. Wood lectures on the environment and related health issues in the College of Nursing and Public Health. And to find her after today's show or at any time, it's grassrootsinfo.org. That's grassrootsinfo.org, and of course we'll be posting that as well. On today's show, we're going to start off with a discussion of 5G, and we'll probably get to other issues as well. So thank you so much for joining us today, Patty. And thank you so much for all of your work in bringing an educated voice to many of these issues. Why don't we go back in time and let's say, how did you get involved in this as your life's work?
Well, it goes back many years. As always, parents of young children are concerned about things that may impact their children's health, and I was one of them. I was the head of the nutrition program at our school, our local elementary school, and was able to start an organic garden at the school, and found out shortly thereafter that the school district was regularly spraying pesticides on school property, and was able to get our school district here on Long Island, the Port Washington School District, to pass a school board policy to prohibit the use of pesticides. Well, that kind of started my activism. And on that particular subject, I was able to, with the help of other groups, to get legislation passed in New York State that prohibits pesticides on all school properties, kindergarten through 12th grade, public, private, parochial, including daycare, and pre-K centers. So, and we still remain the only state in the United States that has this prohibition on the use of pesticides on school properties. So that was kind of a heady feeling to be able to get, you know, several school districts to go ahead and pass board policies, and then to go to Albany and say, look, we can do this. It's cost effective, it's efficacious, and it's a win-win for everybody, especially our kids. And it passed almost unanimously, which is not the way things go today. but that happened back in the late 1990s. So we were very happy to see that happen. And that's how I got started. And now, of course, when you talk about environmental health issues, it's a very, very broad area of interest and concern.
Well, let me ask you this before we delve into 5G, our focus topic today.
Sure.
What about what's going on, and we almost never hear about it in the news, except in a broad thing, about the current administration saying they're rolling back regulations. That seems to go in the face of what you're trying to do, which is increased regulations.
Yeah, it's absolutely doing that. You know, just as the current administration took over, they were looking at a single pesticide, chlorpyrifos, that they were going to ban from use in the agricultural sector. And they have reversed that. That was Scott Pruitt's, one of Scott Pruitt's first things was to say, forget that, we're going to let them keep using it. It had already been banned for use by consumers because of its neurotoxic effects on children. And then they, you know, there was, you know, enough residue in commercially grown or conventionally grown produce and so on that that they were going to ban it. And that has been reversed. So many things have been reversed. Just this past week, Dr. Ruth Edsel, who was the head of the Children's Environmental Health Division at the United States Environmental Protection Agency, was let go. And so she was there to make sure that policies and laws that were passed were taking into consideration the unique vulnerability of children. And that's over too. So we're dismantling all of our agencies and letting the industries that they were meant to regulate kind of take over Washington. And it is discouraging. I mean, the FCC, the USDA, the FDA, the EPA, all in place to protect public health, to make sure that we protect our vital natural resources, our air, our water, our food supply. And then someone to regulate the chemical industry, someone to regulate the telecom industry, you know, where their use of microwave radiation and these things are just not happening. And I don't see them happening under this administration. We actually had a conversation with the former head of EPA Region 2, Judith Enck, and she said that if this administration is a four-year administration, the EPA will have to take about 10 years to rebuild itself. If it goes on for 8 years, that the EPA will never recover.
Oh, my God.
Discouraging.
Yeah, it's so scary.
Yeah, discouraging.
Never mind the EPA recovering. It is going to take a while unless you have some data. Let's say due to these changes in regulatory law and regulatory environment, can we as yet measure increased pollution in the environment?
Well, we are beginning to see the effects of, I mean, you see this more and more now with these weather patterns that we're seeing and then these major storms, especially just what we saw in the Chesapeake Bay area. We are beginning to see that the regulations for CAFOs, these confined animal factory operations, and their pits of of waste, manure from pig farms and so on. They're just not regulated properly as far as, being safe, from contaminating our water. And sure enough, I mean, those storms just, completely overwhelmed those operations, and the waste pits were just, running freely into the Chesapeake Bay. I mean, people, get drinking water from a lot of these, these bays and lakes and rivers that are being so polluted by industries that are not being regulated.
That was a good example. And, of course, that did get some play on TV.
It did, yeah.
Yes. Which
well, it's kind of disgusting. I mean, people like to hear about disgusting things like, pig manure, running into a water source. I mean, it's like, it's a lot of stuff going on. We just came back from California, and so you see what's going on all over the country, and California has the same kinds of problems that we have as far as just pollution, people pollution, plastics, and just too many people on this planet, contaminating it with our own waste. I mean, the sewage treatment plants and septic systems and cesspools and so on are problematic all over the country. We just are not very smart about these things, and allow a lot of builders and contractors to place new buildings with very dense populations in very vulnerable and sensitive areas, and it comes back to bite us.
Right, and like you said, in California, of course, I guess the biggest thing that hit the news was
wildfires.
The fires, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, it just seems like I was an environmental minor. I was a major in pre-veterinary medicine and environmental minor at Cornell University, and that was in the 1960s. That's when I was there. Mm-hmm. And we were already talking about all this, and that was the time to, that we could have maybe made changes.
That was the time to do something about it, yep. But nobody was listening. And there were actually people talking about climate change in the 1950s and the 1960s, and nobody was listening. And there were people talking in the 1960s about the health effects of microwave radiation, two-way communication using microwaves, and nobody listened. Because industries had the potential. Industries had the potential to make a lot of money, and that nobody gets in the way of.
Yeah, and that's a problem. And it's interesting because I'm about to do a, I think it's about a 10-hour special that's going to be featuring electromagnetic fields and all the deleterious effects by them. And a preview was sent out before we do the big, you know, free event. And I have gotten hundreds of emails from people who are saying that they know they are electromagnetically sensitive. Mm-hmm. And yet they can't get disability or anything because there's no known disease.
No, but in other countries, they actually recognize electrohypersensitivity or EHS as a disability, and they have to be accommodated. So they have places in public libraries and so on where there are no routers, where they are, I mean, there's some bleed from, you know, other parts of buildings, but there are places in public, you know, buildings and institutions where people can go and they're not being bombarded. So hypersensitivity is a very, very broad type of illness. I mean, it can be just, you know, people get, you know, they get headaches or their ear hurts or they have ringing in their ear when they use their cell phones, you know, against their head, which they should never do anyway for other reasons besides hypersensitivity. And then there are other people who basically can no longer function in society. And they are literally living in remote places, many people living in their vehicles, which is amazing. I mean, we get a tremendous amount of people calling in and asking us for advice on where to go, you know, how to remediate situations if they live in the city, you know, what can be done, are there window treatments, are there things that they can do in their apartments to literally escape the constant bombardment of this type of radiation. It's tough. It's a tough world out there, and it's only going to get worse.
Resource list, or what do you tell people to do?
Well, there are things that you can do if you have electromagnetic hypersensitivity, and we do recommend, first of all, if it's possible to move from a, you know, from a situation where there's just a constant 24/7 exposure, if people can move, then we really suggest they do that. It's really, that's the best thing to do, is to get away from it. If they can't move, then the first thing we do is to have them, you know, put this film on their windows, which you can't even see. I mean, once it's been placed on, it's like this clear film, but it actually has these silver threads, you know, in the film. And it, you know, that repels the radiation, reflects it.
That's interesting. And then I never heard of that one. Boy, that's why I love doing radio. I learn more.
Oh, yeah. And then to use metal blinds on your windows. Anything that's metal is going to deflect that.
Yeah. Is that in China, they have material made with gold, silver, and copper threading through it.
Yep.
And there's actually ads that I have seen right in mainstream newspapers, et cetera.
Sure.
And in many office buildings, pregnant women are required to use this clothing.
Right. Well, it's clothing. They also have something. I mean, there's a company here in the U.S. called Belly Armor, and they actually make a blanket. It's actually an organic little blanket. It's just a little blanket that goes over a mother's belly, a pregnant woman's belly, and that has these threads, these metallic threads sewn into it, just to protect women who are in office situations where they're on their computers all day long, where there's routers, you know, in the room, and there's a lot of you know, conversations going on using cell phones. I mean, it's very, very difficult to avoid it, but if you're pregnant, It is almost like more important than not smoking or not drinking or not, you know, eating tuna fish sandwiches. It's like you can't ever get away from it, and it's not your choice. You know, you can't say, okay, I'm not going to eat a tuna fish sandwiches. I'm not going to have that beer, you know, on Friday night. I'm not going to smoke cigarettes anymore, whatever. This is like an involuntary exposure. And there are very sensitive populations that have to be aware of this. And one of them is pregnant women. And then there's people who have implanted medical devices that are also wireless devices that are impacted by the wireless radiation all around them. People who have, you know, disabilities, you know, who are on, you know, on fairly significant medications all the time, and the elderly and young children. I mean, it's always young children, which is how I got involved in this in the first place. And one of the things that we've always thought is that if we can get policies and laws to protect young children, then by default, we're actually protecting everybody else too, like in a school environment. So we're, you know, we're really doing our best to try to focus on particularly sensitive populations, because it's, you know, it's the responsible thing to do at this point. I mean, we are already looking at our children as canaries in the coal mine. I mean, if you look at the amount of neurological and cognitive problems that our children have today, and then childhood cancers, and then childhood asthma, and childhood, you know, hormonal problems or precocious puberty, and, you know, endocrine disruption and so on, you really can understand that we're in trouble as a society. Long ago, people used to say, you know, look at the children in a culture, look at the children in society, and that will tell you how well you're doing. We're doing really poorly.
Now, what about, let's say someone did call your organization, and I'm sure you're inundated, and you talked about belly armor as being something people can actually look up. What about other places that provide, like, the protective material with silver in it for the windows? Do you have a list of those?
Yes. No, there's a company that's, it's called Less EMR, L-E-S-S. EMR, and that's electromagnetic radiation, .com, and they sell all kinds of stuff.
Okay.
Less EMF, I'm sorry, not EMR. Less EMF, okay. As in okay. Frank. Less, L-E-S-S, E-M-F, as in electromagnetic frequencies, .com.
Well, I think
sell everything from shielding products, personal shielding products, shielding products for homes, businesses. They sell meters so that you can actually see, you know, what the source is or where the hot spots are in your home. They sell, you know, paints. They sell all kinds of stuff that that you could use, and it's, you know, turning into a fairly big business at this point.
Well, it's going to be bigger any minute.
Oh,
now.
Yeah, absolutely.
The word is out. And now, in terms of your organization, so
yeah.
You run on donations?
We have a 501c3 non-official nonprofit organization, and we get funding from individuals and from family foundations and from from regular foundations. So, you know, for instance, you know, we have just applied for a grant, for a new program that we're doing to teach teenagers about environmental health in their health education classes in high schools. And so that, that's something that we would reach out to somebody funding that kind of work and see whether or not we might get a grant to do that. My husband and I, who run Grassroots Environmental Education, we are unpaid staff, so we take no salary. This is all, you know, volunteer work for us. But we do have a staff, and we have, you know, other expenses. But everyone that works on our staff is multi-talented, so when we hire an attorney, that attorney is also a great writer. She's also, you know, really good at going into schools and doing, you know, environmental education programs in a kindergarten classroom. And so it's, we kind of use everybody that we have to do just about everything, which works really well for us.
Happens.
We're small, but we do big stuff.
Yes. And how do you handle that? Like, you know, let's say you get 100 calls a day from people who are getting to know about 5G coming to your area soon, or who are feeling they hear some of these webinars that we're doing now and they start to get educated. I mean,
what
you just give them this information,
okay,
and say,
so
call lessemf.com,
yeah.
Or you don't, you know, it seems like you might be able to ask for a donation.
Well, what we do is, you know, like for instance, we were in California last week, and I got a call on Friday night out in California from somebody here in Lake Success who is extremely concerned about the rollout of these 5G nodes in a neighborhood that they're going to be doing. And there's a public hearing either tonight or tomorrow night or Wednesday night. I don't know. It's sometime this week. And so we have this sheet called 5G Technology versus Science and Freedom of Choice, and that's on our website. And so we tell people go to the website, download the PDF, and print it, and get on your bicycle or whatever, and get everybody in your neighborhood a little bit up to speed on the issue so they understand the health impacts. We are a science-driven, science-based organization, so we don't get involved in issues or on particular environmental health issues unless we feel very certain that there is a good body of science, what we call robust body of science, and that we are continuing to get peer-reviewed published studies on a regular basis on these issues, which means that it is an ongoing issue, that there are academic institutions all over the world that are doing work on this because it is a real public health threat. So we tell people that, you know, to download our materials. We will actually be at the meeting to testify in Lake Success. One of us will be there. So we try to support, you know, our local community, and we have created a national organization called Americans for Responsible Technology, and also WIN, the Wireless Information Network, WIN19.org, and Americans for Responsible Technology .org. Those are two sites that we have created, which are, you know, just filled with information for people to, you know, to really educate themselves so that they can go out in their own communities. And one of the problems, of course, is that the Telecommunications Act, you know, is, you know, like
wait,
20 years.
Slow down, Patty.
Are we going to talk about 5G?
This, because it's very important what you're about to say, okay? So everything that Patty shared with us, all this exciting information, listeners, and Patty, I would like you to know this show is an hour, so we don't have to rush, and we really want to get this information out. So, you know, you gave us so much information there. It's amazing. We're going to go, you know, we're going to go now to a little break so we can play a natural medicine chest. And then when we come back, we're going to continue our discussion. And we're also going to say where there's some local movies that people can go watch. That's mm-hmm. here on Long Island. But,
yep.
of course, you are helping people nationally as well at your organization. And people can visit grassrootsinfo.org. And I imagine to get links to many of these other things you're sharing. Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We're going to go for a break right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. We will be right back with more.
On this edition of The Natural Medicine Chest, we'll discuss jojoba, the miracle plant of the desert.
Jojoba is spelled J-O-J-O-B-A, but is pronounced according to its Spanish origins. The jojoba plant grows in the American Southwest and the Sonoran Desert in Mexico. The jojoba is a large bush-like plant resembling mistletoe. It can reach a height of 15 feet and can live from 100 to 200 years. The Sonoran Indians have used the oil pressed from the jojoba beans for centuries. Father Juniper Serra, founder of 21 missions in California, noted in the early 1700s that the local Indians were using jojoba oil for treating sores, cuts, bruises, burns, and as a diet supplement, to soothe skin from sun and wind burns, as a cooking oil, and even as a beverage.
The importance of jojoba as a cash crop was proclaimed in 1935, but it was not until 1974, when the killing of sperm whales was banned, that the government began to study jojoba oil in depth as a substitute for whale oil. The National Academy of Sciences concluded jojoba oil has a radically different chemical structure than any other known oil. Most oils break down or turn rancid. Jojoba, on the other hand, is hypoallergenic, non-toxic, never turns rancid, and does not break down even under high temperature and pressure.
The University of California at Riverside did a study where they cooked 27 batches of popcorn in the same heated jojoba oil. The last batch was just as perfect as the first. These unusual properties are unique to jojoba oil because, chemically speaking, jojoba oil is not really an oil at all, but is a liquid wax. Its composition is almost identical to sebum, which is the oil secreted by human sebaceous glands to help to protect the skin from the environment.
Jojoba has a myriad of usages. The cosmetic industry takes advantage of its compatibility to human skin by adding it to shampoos, conditioners, moisturizers, and many other cosmetic products. In medicine, jojoba can be used directly on rashes, cuts, and psoriasis. It may also be used as a lubricant for artificial hearts. Jojoba contains a natural appetite suppressant, which can be used in weight loss products. It has no known side effects. In industry, jojoba is known to be a superior engine lubricant and will cause a car to run 20 to 30 degrees cooler when added to the crankcase oil.
So, if you are interested in a miracle plant from the desert, reach for jojoba in your natural medicine chest.
Visit our website at naturalnurse.com to find out about all the ways you can join us in person, such as at Main Source Pharmacy in Huntington coming up October 10th, or online for all of our classes and workshops, such as Cooling the Fire Dragon, Herbs for Pain and Inflammation, on October 14th. That one actually offers 3 CE credits for nurses, midwives, acupuncturists, massage therapists, registered dietitians, and that can be taken if you can't make it at that time and you sign up, then we send it to you as an archive so you're still able to take the entire class. So get in touch at naturalnurse.com. Also, we are training herbalists. If you feel that you're attracted to becoming a professional herbalist, we're very involved in training individuals who are working on that to become an RH registered herbalist. And there's one organization only that grants that, and that is the American Herbalist Guild. So people who say they have studied with this, that, or the other, you know, that could be on the way, but it is not considered an AHGRH. So if you're interested in that, get in touch through naturalnurse.com. Today we're talking about a very important topic that impacts us all. We will be putting out the EMF webinar shortly, so if you want to be on the mailing list so you get the links to listen free, it's a 10-hour class on EMF, get in touch at naturalnurse.com and sign on to the newsletter, which is also free. Today we have as our guest Patty Wood, and I would really say her organization, which is grassrootsinfo.org, is your best resource. She has already told us all kinds of ways that you can protect yourself from the inundation and unfortunately exacerbating electromagnetic fields that are in our environment. And thank you so much, Patty, for being our guest today.
Now, let's define,
because we have not defined today, what does it mean by upgrading to 5G? Yesterday, I met with my dad on the beach. He's out there swimming and running. He's 92 years old. And he said there was a discussion of people on the beach talking about the fact that they're putting up these new mini cell towers in Oyster Bay, where we live on Long Island, a beautiful, pristine place. And they're very excited because it's going to increase the availability of Wi-Fi, which right now we don't have much of.
Well, it's not really going to increase the availability of Wi-Fi. What it's going to do is going to allow people to, you know, to stream videos much more quickly. You can already do it in a couple of minutes. So this is just, you know, crazy that it's, you know, it's increasing the speed. So you're going to have faster downloading, faster streaming, and it will allow the, eventually, and I'm not even sure that this is going to happen, but it will eventually allow driverless cars to go up and down the streets where there are, 5G nodes. And it will also allow the Internet of Things, or IoT, which basically is, you know, the ability of your appliances and devices, electronic devices, to actually talk to each other. I'm not sure these things are necessary. In fact, I am absent from a personal perspective. They're not necessary at all. And why would we, you know, why would we put our health and our family's health at risk to be able to have our toaster talk to our refrigerator? I mean, it's like, I don't understand. I mean, just because you can do it doesn't mean you should do it, and especially if it needs to be powered or facilitated by a very risky technology. So, 5G small antennas, why do we need them? It's just the next generation. We started with 2G, 3G, 4G. It uses, the 5G, though, is using new type of radio frequency microwave radiation, which will transmit very large amounts of data. One of the drawbacks of 5G is that it only works over short distances, so that it requires closer proximity to the end user and a very dense deployment of antennas, because the signal also gets interrupted easily, can even be interrupted by foliage, in other words, leaves on trees. So if you live in a very leafy green community, they're going to put these 5G antennas in much more densely, you know, and in closer proximity. So this is just, you know, they are predicting a vast network of millions of these powerful antennas in neighborhoods across America, not only rural areas where they keep saying, you know, this is going to close the divide, this is crazy, but you know, they're going to put them in every suburban community. Every city is just going to be chock packed full of these 5G antennas. It doesn't mean that 4G is going away. You're still going to have these, you know, these larger antenna, you know, that are utilizing 4G technology as well.
I didn't know that.
Oh, no. These are not replacing. These are not replacing the 4G
antennas. I did not know that. See,
yeah.
That's why I love doing radio, because it's always a learning.
Right. So what's going to happen is that 5G is going to utilize the current 3G and 4G frequencies already in use and add even more radiation, a higher frequency submillimeter and millimeter waves, which are just going to be used in order to transmit data at these super fast or hyper speeds. So no, this is not.
So
you're just adding another layer.
That. Wait
you're
a
just
minute.
Adding more
so
radiation. You're adding another layer.
They're keeping the 4G in place.
Oh yeah.
They're adding the 5G on top of that.
Correct.
So now, so do people have to pay additionally to get the 5G, like that's an add-on service?
Well, they're beginning to roll it out for personal use. I mean, people now, I mean, I saw an ad yesterday where people can actually get a 5G antenna inside their home so that they can have, I mean, it's all about super fast streaming and downloading. That's really what people are interested in, which is crazy. But that's what people want. They want speed. They want to do it faster. They want everything faster. They want everything immediate right now. And that's what 5G will enable them to do.
So do you think eventually they'll get everybody over on 5G and then discontinue the 4G?
No. No. This is you're using different frequencies, a different band for 5G that was actually approved by the FCC. So they're using a different band, this very high frequency submillimeter and millimeter waves that I mentioned. It's crazy.
Another wild thing, which I know you know by heart, but let's share with our listeners is the Telecommunications Act of 1996.
Right.
Which impedes our ability to fight against these things based on health effects.
That's correct. So the Telecommunications Act of 1996 basically said that right now the only health effect that they're looking at is a thermal exposure. So the human exposure guidelines in 1996 are still the same human exposure guidelines that we're looking at today. And basically, from our perspective, they were really only looking at these thermal exposures, which means how close do you have to get to that antenna on the roof of a building before it will actually burn human tissue, or burn your skin, which from my perspective is an occupational exposure. This is for people who work on, you know, roofs for various things, on air conditioning units and so on, or people actually even installing these antenna. So that's the only human health effect that the FCC considers. And those guidelines are 20 years old, more than 20 years old. And look at the incredible acceleration of deployment of wireless technology in the past 20-some years. I mean, it has been unbelievable. And we have thousands, literally thousands of studies showing biological impacts. When I say biological impacts, I'm talking about cancers, I'm talking about neurological, cognitive, I'm talking about reproductive problems. It goes on and on. We spoke earlier about electromagnetic hypersensitivity. That's also a human health impact. Skin, eye impacts, the tumors, you know, that are specifically related to holding a cell phone against the head. That's the gliomas of the brain, the acoustic neuromas, and the parotid gland tumors. That's a salivary gland sitting right below the ear. If you look at John McCain, I mean, John McCain was a lefty. He held his cell phone against his head. He had a parotid gland tumor. He had a tumor, a glioma of the brain. He, you know, was a, you can just look and see. And he, as a single senator, took more contributions than any other senator from the telecom industry.
Well, you're talking about it, and I know one of the wonderful things that you do at your organization, grassrootsinfo.org, is that you actually have very easily accessible links to all of the scientific studies. Now, before we go for a break, I just want to make an announcement, and this is a local one. Sorry for you. You know, we have national and international listeners. Mm-hmm. But in Long Island at the Huntington Public Library on October 11th at 7 p.m. and also at the Huntington Main Library on November 30th at 6:30 p.m., there is a showing of a movie called Generation Zapped. Have you seen this movie?
Yes, not only have I seen it, but I will be I will be there at both of those showings in Huntington, just coordinating the Q&A after it and giving an introduction.
That's excellent for us local people. How about people getting this movie, Generation Zapped, to show to their groups around the country? Because this is not a local issue.
No, this is not a local issue. There's actually many movies that have been made about this. Generation Zapped is one of the most recently released films. You know what? It's a really, really good opportunity for people to understand the seriousness of this exposure. I think that anybody who has a free evening for either of those nights should really try to make an effort to see this. You know, it's so hard in this field that that we just can't get to everyone. The media doesn't talk about it. If you look at who the sponsors are or the advertisers for media, both print media as well as cable and network television, it's all the telecoms. You know, it's all about Sprint and, you know, Cablevision and Ford, Verizon and so on. And they're not going to talk about this and lose those advertising dollars. So getting the word out, critically important. it's very, very hard as a single organization. Even, you know, all the organizations that work on this around the country, they, you know, they also have this this real problem with, you know, getting this information out to the public.
Well, I know what we've been doing here is groups on our committee are actually going to representatives' offices. And I actually have to admit that I opt out of doing that because I worked so hard against 4G and got nowhere because of this law that we just discussed in terms of the Telecommunications Act, where you cannot even try to dissuade putting up these things because of health issues.
Well, it's actually not written as health issues in that Telecommunications Act. It is written as an environmental issue. But when that was tested in court, the judge ruled that that health comes under the environmental, you know, category or issue. So they didn't actually say that you can't fight it based on health impacts. They say that you can't fight it based on environmental impacts. But there's a precedent that's been already set. But the fact is that, you know what, this is time for people to get out there and say, I don't want my family exposed. We have to talk about the health issues. There's no question. And people can talk about the health issues. They can talk about their property values. We have seen some studies showing a 20% drop in the value of your home where you, if you are near one of these large cell towers. Would you buy a house with a mini cell tower in your yard? I wouldn't. I wouldn't even think about it.
So soon you won't be able to buy any house.
Soon you won't be able to buy any house, and this is
so where do we go? On what planet exactly? So I will tell people that I recently visited Santa Fe, New Mexico, and in the mountains outside of Santa Fe is actually, for now, electromagnetically clean. Like you can't use your cell phone.
That's right. And there are people in Santa Fe. There's Arthur Furstenberg, who lives in Santa Fe, New Mexico, who has just written this very large book called The Invisible Rainbow. And that is all about electromagnetic, you know, radiation, about microwave radiation. And so he is in Santa Fe. And also Katie Singer is in Santa Fe, and she is a writer. She's a medical writer, and she has written, she wrote Electronic Silent Spring, which is about, you know, well, you know Rachel Carson's book, Silent Spring, which is about, you know, the silence in the spring because of the birds dying from DDT and other pesticide use. But now she's writing Electronic Silent Spring, Katie Singer, and it's really, really an excellent book about this same issue. So they're very, very involved in Santa Fe.
Maybe that's why it's so good up there. But, you know, we do have to take a little break. It's amazing how fast the time is going. But we will come back right after we really listen to some of the other wonderful show choices that you have on Progressive Radio Network and how you personally can help yourself get all this information as well as the rest of the world. We will be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
Progressive Radio Network, information for the independent mind.
Get your daily dose of happy each morning at 9 a.m. Eastern Time on PRN. LOA Today is expanding to appear on PRN now 5 mornings per week, Monday through Friday. I'm Walt Thiessen, the host of LOA Today. The way you start your day sets the tone for the rest of the day, so start it happy. We explore the realm of positive psychology, the law of attraction, and the power of positive thinking, and we have a heck of a lot of fun in the process. You'll find yourself smiling each morning. That's LOA Today, weekday mornings at 9 a.m. Eastern Time here on PRN.
If folks. My name is Jordan Valerie. My pronouns are she, her, hers. And I'm here to tell you about the Millennial Politics Podcast. We speak with the next generation of progressive candidates, activists, and organizations dedicated to restoring our democracy and protecting our civil rights and liberties. Make sure to stay tuned for Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on the Progressive Radio Network, to hear the most recent episode of our podcast, and follow us on social media and iTunes to stay up to date with everything Millennial Politics.
You are listening to PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
And I know you are going to want to share today's show with all your friends and family. So how you can do that is go to naturalnurse.com, look at the radio archives, or visit prn.fm. They have their the radio archives posted there as well. And you definitely want to get involved by knowing about our guest today and her website as well. So why don't you tell people, you've given us so much information, Patty. What is the best way to get in touch with your organization? Because you've mentioned several websites. So would they go to grassrootsinfo.org first, or
yes,
you know,
yes,
one of
so,
those other
so
ones like Win19? What
right.
would be best?
Okay, so grassrootsinfo, that's grassroots info.org is our main website. We also have, you know, 12 other websites that we have created on various issues. There are three of them out there just on this wireless issue, and one of them is Win19, so that's WIN and then the numerals 19 .org. That's Wireless Information Network. And then the most recent one that we have put up is Americans for Responsible Technology, and that's just Americans for Responsible Tech, TECH.org. And then there are several other ones. If you go just to the grassrootsinfo.org, there are links to the other ones as well. When we went to that break, I was talking about the science, or you were talking about the science. Everything that we do is based on peer-reviewed academic independent research, and so that is also available on our website. There are many, many issues, but you can go to wireless and find a lot of these studies. So I just wanted to just briefly just go through the 5G. We talked about the FCC. They're still using human exposure guidelines from 1996, addressing only thermal, not the biological impacts of exposure, which we have already talked about. We know that that you can see cancers in people who are using these technologies on a regular basis, reproductive effects, neurological and cognitive effects, and so on. But the other thing about the FCC that we didn't mention is that they're, because of all of this developing science and this research, which is now just really out there, there is an open FCC docket that was actually opened in 2013. And there's been no resolution on it. The FCC has basically refused to do anything about this. So we are literally operating in a completely uncertain regulatory environment. This docket needs to be closed. We need to resolve it, and they need to accept this science, and they need to change their human exposure guidelines, and that does not look likely during this administration.
That's for sure. If anything,
yeah,
they're deregulating.
That's right. So then more than 250 medical and public health professionals, they signed a joint statement. They sent that to the United Nations asking for a moratorium all over the world on the rollout of 5G. They all, you know, they were imploring government officials to please acknowledge the science on microwave radiation and human health. So that has happened. There are over 250 signatories on the Baby Safe Project. The Baby Safe Project is one of our projects that we have been working on with Hugh Taylor, who's the head of reproductive sciences and OBGYN at Yale Medical School. And Devra Davis, who's a toxicologist, who's very involved in this issue. The Baby Safe Project, we have over 250 signatories on that. These are OBGYNs, and these are medical researchers who have said that, yes, pregnant women are uniquely vulnerable. Some protective actions must be taken to protect the developing fetus from this type of radiation. What we found is that Hugh Taylor did a study at Yale showing that the prefrontal cortex of the brain of the developing fetus was actually impacted by the mother's use of a cell phone. And so we are just, this is where we're really trying hard, is to get pregnant women, aware of this potential risk to their baby.
Why don't we, you do such a beautiful presentation, and we're so happy to have you on at grassrootsinfo.org. Patricia Wood, environmental activist. We're getting to the end of the hour, believe it or not.
I know.
But why isn't this on the regular news shows more?
Because the industry is, is one of their major suppliers of funding for the stations and for the networks. You can't survive without advertising. None of the media can survive without advertising, and you don't want to, get in the face of an advertiser and talk about the risks of their technology or their products, and so they don't.
Yeah, so that's just amazing. So it's, I think, there is hope, and I'll tell you why. Even politicians are people, and as they themselves get environmental illness, which we have run across, they are more active. And also in areas where very wealthy people live, they don't want, and they may even own the telecommunications companies, they don't want these things at their
house.
That's
right. There have been instances of people, and this actually happened in Huntington, where someone, was completely up, out front on this issue and wanted that antenna that was placed in, in their front yard to be taken off. And they fought, and eventually they just moved it down the street. Now it's in front of somebody else's yard, and they just walked away from the issue. Just take care of me.
Well, quite amazing, and I want to thank you again so much for your wonderful work for many years. And as you said, we don't have time to go into, although we have had you on other shows, that when someone visits grassrootsinfo.org, there's a myriad of information, links to scientific study, links to all these other issues, like you said, the baby issue, which I think we discussed in another show. And so thank you so much for all the work that you do.
You're so welcome. And I encourage everyone to attend one of those two showings.
I will be there. I'll definitely be there. And also the movie Generation Zapped. That's a good source.
Generation Zapped.
And also you may want to join in on the EMS Summit that we are doing. Just go to my email at naturalnurse.com, go to the left-hand corner, sign your name in, it's free, and then you'll get an announcement about how you can get a free link to the EMF Summit. That will be coming in early November, starting to go out, the end of the month. So thank you so much for joining us today, Patty.
You're so welcome.
And I will see you there. And for listeners, thank you so much for joining us as well. We love to hear from you. Get in touch at naturalnurse.com. And until next time, this is Ellen Kamai, the Natural Nurse, hoping that you stay healthy.